The scripture reading is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also those who all who have loved his appearing.
It is great to be here and be with you this morning. It is great to be a part of a congregation that chooses not to be customers who want to be satisfied, but a part of a body of believers who believe we are disciples, who long to be more like Christ, and therefore we see our place here as a place to belong, a place to learn, and a place to serve. And I'm especially grateful this morning I have my parents with you. I know you all thought I was teased about having parents because I said they were coming and then they weren't. But John and Clarita are here and we're great to have them. And it's been wonderful to show them our new digs and our new home and our new neighborhood. And so we've really enjoyed that time and enjoyed having them with us. And this morning we are offering the last of what is this series of Serving as God's Soldiers. And to me this is the most difficult one, because it has to do with soldiers making the ultimate sacrifice. All soldiers sacrifice. All those who serve sacrifice. But some sacrifice all. And so we look to the men and women who serve in our military, who protect us, who are the point of the spear for us and keep danger at bay, and we honor all of them, but a special honor that goes to those who've given it all on the battlefield, who die on the battlefield. And this morning we're going to look at our existence here on earth as children of God, followers of Christ, as Todd mentioned in his prayer, those who put on the full armor of God and go and do battle and ultimately die on the battlefield. Unless Christ returns soon, we are going to die on the battlefield, which is this earth. So what does that mean? What does it mean if we're going to die on the battlefield? How do we approach that? Well, the first thing I want to look at this morning is that godly soldiers are not frozen by fear. Godly soldiers are not frozen by fear. We're going to read from Mark chapter 13. It'll be on the screen, but if you want to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 13, you're welcome to read along with us. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 5. Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations." So according to Jesus, life on this earth, as this earth begins the end of the age, or enters into the end of the age, life on earth is going to be anything but easy and pleasant. In verse 6, talking about people who will deceive many by offering the cure for whatever ails you. They will claim, "I am he." So we'll have false religions. We'll have counterfeit faiths. We'll have people who are going to find the fountain of youth for you. People who are going to find the pot of gold for you. People are going to serve whatever issue you think you want, whatever problem you think you have. There's going to be people who come along and claim to be deliverers. "I'm he. I'm the one." He says, don't fall for that. Verse 7 and 8, there's going to be governments who are going to be gambling with people's lives to further their political positions. Nations will rise against nations. Now, I'm not the prophet nor the son of a prophet. I don't claim to prophesy. I have no idea when the end of the earth is going to come. I don't know when Jesus is going to return. I think it could be any moment, but they've thought that for 2,000 years. I don't know. But as I was putting this lesson together and thinking, what are the signs that Jesus gives us for the end of the age? As the earth nears the end of the age, if we come close to the end, what's it going to look like? And he talks about deceivers. I am he. Those who claim to be the ones who have the message you need, claim the health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel, the live forever. They're going to claim to have whatever you need, the I am he's. And then nation will rise against nation. Let me just share with you a little bit of what's going on in the world today, according to reference.com. According to the U.S. government, there are 10 wars and 8 military conflicts going on right now. 10 wars, 8 military conflicts. And if I understand the article right, the way they define the difference between a war and a conflict is the number of casualties. Once you go over 1,000 casualties, it becomes a war. Before that, it's a conflict. So according to the U.S. government right now, there's 10 wars, 8 military conflicts. There's also violent conflicts involving 64 countries and 576 militias. I don't know if the end is today or tomorrow or next month or next year. I don't know when it's going to be, but it sounds to me like we're already starting to play this game of the end of time when nation will rise against nation. And in verse 8, the earth will struggle itself with earthquakes and famines. And what's interesting is some of those natural, quote-unquote, disasters, some of those natural disasters are going to be man-made, and one of the clearest ones is war creates famine. And so when nation rises against nation, there'll be people who go hungry. And also we have an earth that's been under the curse since Adam and Eve, still groaning to be relieved from that curse. And some of the upheavals are going to be because of that. So Jesus says when the end is near, life on earth is going to be anything but peaceful. Not only that, Jesus also warns that it's going to be difficult to be a faithful Christian as the end of earth appears. You'd like to think that we'd live those twilight years of the end of the age in peace and quiet and joy and tranquility. We've done our work. We can rest from our work. That's not what Jesus says. According to the traditions, all the apostles, except of Judas, all the apostles died a martyr's death. They died because of their faith. Let me show you a little bit what's going on in the world today according to Christianity Today. According to Christianity Today, a January 2020 article says every day, 8 Christians around the world are killed for their faith. Every day, 8 people who claim Jesus Christ as their Savior are martyred for their faith right now in this world. Every week, there's 182 churches or Christian buildings that are attacked because they are churches or Christian buildings around the world. And every month around the world, 309 Christians are imprisoned unjustly. So I don't know when the end comes. I don't know where we are. I do know, according to Scripture, we're in the last days. Which one of those last days? I don't know. But it seems to me like we're starting to connect a lot of the dots that Jesus says we need to be seeing as the birth pains of the end of the age come about. But what I wanted to bring to you as God's soldiers, what I wanted to share with you as fellow soldiers is this is not a cause for God's people to be frozen in fear. This is not a moment when things get tough, when the life seems hard, when it's hard to be faithful, when it's hard to watch the world. It's not a time to shrink back. This is the time when God calls his people to press the battle forward. In verse 9, Mark chapter 13 and verse 9, I want to read for you from the New Living Translation. It says, "You will stand trial before governors and kings because you're my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me." Isn't that amazing? You're going to be persecuted for your faith. You're going to be held accountable. Your faith is going to cost you. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. But this is your opportunity. This is not the time to shrink back. This is not the time to be frozen in fear. It's not the time to lay low until things pass. This is the time, he says, this is the moment when you get to witness before kings and authorities. This is the time to press the battle forward against Satan. That's what he's saying. This isn't the time to lay back. This is the time to push forward. This is the time to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I've always said when the church was persecuted and scattered, right? Stephen's stoning. The church is persecuted, scattered. And Scripture says wherever they went, they proclaimed the gospel. And I thought, what does that look like? Hey, I'm running from somebody who's trying to kill me because I've accepted this guy named Jesus, and now they're wanting to kill me for that. But hey, you ought to come join me. Come on. I think what they're saying is, I'm on the run for my life. There's somebody who wants to kill me for my faith, but I found a guy who's going to give me life after this one. And I don't know how long I'm going to have this physical life, but I know whoever that Jesus is that I put my faith in, he's going to give me life after they take it. So if you want life after this life, why don't you come join? When the time gets tough, that's when God calls his soldiers to press forward, bring the battle to Satan. We talked earlier about Satan being cast out of heaven, and I believe that was the moment when Jesus was crucified on the cross, this great climactic battle in heaven while they're trying to settle who's going to be king on earth. Jesus is crucified. Satan thinks he's won, but clearly he loses, and Satan's cast down to heaven with his angels, and now he's here on earth, cornered like a wild dog, cornered in a trap, and he's more dangerous than here, and that's our battlefield. And so while he tries to destroy us, our job is to press the battle forward. I'm inclined to, in light of our current worldwide circumstance of the pandemic, I'm inclined to just stop here for just a minute and kind of discuss this. I don't think what God's calling us to do are take reckless risks. I don't think God is calling you to throw caution to the wind and do everything you can to try to expose yourself to coronavirus and just see if you survive. I don't think that's what he's saying. But I think what he's saying is that we have a God-given mission to be a light to the world. We have a God-given commission to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. And I think what Scripture is telling us is that nothing can get in the way of that. Not the trouble that comes at the end of times. And I have no idea if the pandemic has anything to do with that or not. But if we have to make a choice between remaining physically safe and fulfilling God's commission, being successful in God's mission, I think he's saying we've got to settle on the mission side. So I'm not sitting in judgment of anyone who's taking precautions, of everyone and all the precautions you're taking. And we're so glad to have the people joining us remotely and so pleased that you're here and grateful that you're a part of our family and look forward to the day when we can all get back together again. And so please don't take this as a judgment of somebody who's taking precautions. It's not calling for careless recklessness. But he is saying that there's a mission that's more important than all. And we need to be people who are mission-minded and who, when life gets tough, instead of hiding from our mission, we find ways to accomplish our mission. Because that's when God says, now proclaim the gospel. You're going to be taken before kings and rulers. You're going to be brought up against charges that are probably false and because you're a Christian, but that's your chance to proclaim the gospel. I've been so impressed with the way that so many of our ministries have continued and the ingenuity that the people in our church family have used to continue serving God's people. And maybe the mission change. Maybe the ministry changes a little bit. Maybe the ministry changes a whole lot. Maybe it's changed completely. But they're finding ways to continue the mission in the midst of a pandemic. And I'm so impressed with that. I'm so impressed with the people who have listened, hear God communicate and give them ideas on how to do things differently. We do have a commission and a mission, and it doesn't go away because the pandemic's here. It doesn't go away because we're tired. It doesn't go away because it's becoming unpopular to be a Christian. Scripture says that's your chance to press the battle forward. So what are godly soldiers like? Well, number one, not frozen in fear. Number two, godly soldiers find success in sacrifice. We're going to go to Luke chapter 14 for this one, success in sacrifice. Luke chapter 14, we'll be reading from verse 25. Luke 14, beginning in verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Let's go down to verse 33. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciples. We must be willing to put Christ first in everything if we want to be a disciple of Christ. And being a disciple of Christ is fairly important because Jesus says he's the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. If I read that right, what that says is there's no road to heaven except through Jesus Christ and being his disciple. And so being his disciple is kind of important. And notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say anyone who's not willing to put him first might not be his disciple. You know, maybe on a good day and you're really locked into God and you're really locked into his call on your life and you're really locked into fulfilling your mission. And on that really good day, maybe you don't have a history of putting God first, but on that one day, if he calls you home then, you made it. But on that next day when you're a little focused on self and a little focused on comfort and a little focused on pleasure and not so much focused on mission, if he calls you home that day, oh, I'm sorry. He doesn't say you might not be his disciple. He says you cannot. It's impossible. There's no way to be a disciple. Now, that language hate's very interesting. Hate, mother, father, wife, children, brother, sister, even your own life. You and I know that we're all called to love God and love people, even love our enemies. So that word hate is just a really extreme way of saying if you love anybody else more than you love God. If you love your parents more than you love Jesus Christ, if you put your children before Christ, if you put your spouse before Christ, if you put your own physical existence on earth before Christ, he's saying if you do any of that, it's a very exceptional way of saying he's got to come first. Everyone else, everything else has to come after that. So glad to have my parents here. So glad to have them to visit. Wonderful to show them our new life. We moved from 2.5 hours away to 6 hours away. I love my parents very much, but we felt like this is where God wanted us to be. I'm not saying that I'm God's gift to anybody. I'm just saying we thought this is at the moment where God wants us to be. We move from 30 minutes away from our kids to 4 hours away from our kids. And then we're not special. But I'm just saying there's ways in which you don't put your family first. There's ways in which you don't put yourself first. And sometimes we get so caught up, well, I don't put my kids first, but my goodness, I want them involved in every activity. And we're going to make sure they make those activities and whatever the cost that is. And I don't love my wife more than I love him. But if I want to go do something with her rather than honor God, then maybe... maybe I do. And heaven forbid, don't pick on my kids, because you pick on my kids, then I'll be on you like fire, and you think I'm bad, wait till Jan gets on you. But if I love my kids more than I love Christ, if I put them ahead of him, I cannot be his disciple. Even to the point of my own life. If I choose safety over mission, if I choose comfort over sacrifice, if I choose the physical existence in this physical tent versus doing what God's called me to do and being where he's called me to be, Jesus says you cannot be his disciple. That's hard. This physical life is all we've ever known, right? That's all we've ever known. And I trust that there's something infinitely better beyond, but I've not seen, I've not been there. So it's so easy to hold, cling on to what I've got, what I know. I had a good friend one time said, I don't know about heaven. I think it's pretty good, but what I got's pretty awesome, and I'm going to hold on to what I got. Because I know that. And I've watched over and over and over again God take people through a journey that's arduous and difficult, and it's nothing more than just having birthdays. There's that old saying, growing old isn't for the faint of heart. It's not. And God puts people through a series of trials until that grip we have on this earth and the people and the things here, eventually it becomes, you know, I love this, but I'm tired and I'm sore and I hurt. And I don't feel as good as I used to. I don't do things I used to. And next thing you know, our grip gets loose. And I've watched God do that countless times with people until they say, I'm ready to go home. I'm just ready to go home. I love my family. I love the people here. I love what God's blessed with me here on earth. But man, the quality of life is such, I'm ready to go over. Church, Jesus says if we don't put him first over everything, we can't be his disciple. And by the way, all of us, if Scripture is right, all of us, good, bad, ugly, and in between, faithful, unfaithful, are going to die on the battlefield. Unless Christ returns soon, we're all going to die on the battlefield. Hebrews 9:27 says we're destined to die once, and after that to face the judgment. If this earth is the battlefield, Scripture promises us we're going to be soldiers dying on the battlefield. So we might as well give up the idea of we're going to make it home or not. Home is heaven. The only way to make it through to heaven is to leave here. We're all going to die on the battlefield. That means we must be willing to suffer in order to follow Christ. In verse 27, Jesus says, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And church, make no mistake, his original hearers knew exactly what he meant when he talked about carrying a cross. They'd seen it. They had seen people carrying a cross, not somebody else's cross. They'd seen some people carrying their cross to the place of their execution and seeing them nailed or impaled on that wood. They've seen it. And when he says carry a cross, they knew exactly what he meant. It wasn't a beautiful piece of jewelry. Nothing wrong with crosses on a pendant, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people who know they're marching to their death. And he says, you've got to be willing to do that. To be his disciples. They had, Jesus' original hearers had no illusions about a cruise ship Christianity. No illusions whatsoever. They knew exactly what they were being called to do. To be soldiers who die on the battlefield. In church, we ought not have any illusions either. But the good news is we're still working on some cannots here. If we're not willing to follow Christ, he's not willing to claim us as his disciple. And it sounds kind of harsh, but it's really not. He's not trying to discourage us from being a Christian. He's not trying to discourage us from being his follower. God's not willing that any should perish. He's patient because he wants everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be saved. God wants everybody in heaven with him. So it's not as though God's trying to say, I don't want. God's just saying that Jesus Christ has given everything he has. He's put it all in this. He's made the ultimate sacrifice. And because he's made the ultimate sacrifice, he and the Father are not willing to settle for anything less than our all. We can't be part in, part out. We can't be in today and out tomorrow. We can't be in when it's convenient and good and fun and out when it's hard. If Christ is willing to give his all, he commands nothing less than all of us. If any of you do not give up everything they have, they cannot be my disciple, verse 33. What does that mean, church? That means our mission is to serve faithfully until God chooses to call us home. Steve read from us out of 2 Timothy chapter 4 before the sermon. And I just want to remind you of verse 7 and the first part of verse 8. 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. Notice he doesn't say, I've been on the cruise ship. I've sat on the sun deck. I've enjoyed the waves and the breeze. And now I get to go home. He says, man, I have fought the good fight. I've put on the full armor of God. I've been in the trenches. I've done the mission. I've been out there and suffered. I've made the sacrifice. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And now there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. God doesn't have any problem promising a reward at the end of the service. At the end of our service as soldiers, we have no problem offering a reward, but it's at the end of service. And we don't get to retire from service until we go home to heaven. As long as we're here on earth, God's got a purpose for us. There's a reason for us being here. I firmly believe that the only reason God didn't just whisk us away the minute that we're baptized into Christ so that we can be assured, he can be assured of our salvation because we've got a mission to do. For God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. But he says, when you finish the mission, there's a crown of righteousness. And Paul looked forward to that. To live as Christ, to die as gain, right? Paul knew to be here was to be a servant of Christ. To be here was to be a soldier of God. To be here was to accomplish a mission. And he knew that and he did that. But he said, but when my mission's done, I've got a reward. I've got a crown of righteousness, being right with God, a place in heaven with him. And he says, I'm going to live here. As long as I'm here, it's Christ. But boy, when I get to go home, that's when it's really going to happen. The same promises for you and me. The same promises for you and me. We're soldiers on a mission. We're to put on the full armor of God. We're to go out there, and the harder things get, the more we need to press the battle to the enemy. When life gets tough and people tell us to shut up and keep your faith to yourself, that's when we need to proclaim the truth in love. When we're taken before authorities and rulers as criminals, that's when he says, that's when you're going to be my witnesses. And it's more than just lip service. It's more than just proclaiming the gospel and with mouth. It's living the gospel in difficult times. And so as you and I are examples of Christ to a world that may not ever read the Bible, when we're examples of who God is and the love that God has in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a trying time, in the middle of racial tension, in the middle of all the struggles that we have in this world, when we show God in the way we live, in the way we treat people, the way we talk, the way we act, the hope that we have, where our hope lies, when we show God, we're witnessing to him. So as soldiers, fellow soldiers who are called to die on the battlefield, it's a daunting call. But there's a crown of righteousness waiting for those who answer that call. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. We're going to offer an invitation. This is the church's formal invitation to you. And it's not only to you here, it's to you at home as well. If there's some way this church can serve you, tell us how. You can here, you can come forward. When we stand and sing, if there's a way we can serve you, come forward. Just tell us what we can do. If you're at home, call, text, phone, email. Let us know. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, we'll hear your confession and celebrate with the angels. If you're ready to come back to Christ, you've walked away, now's the time. Today's the day because we're not promised tomorrow. If you struggle with the die on the battlefield idea, or if you just want to know what God's word has to say for you and your walk with him, there's lots of people here, including me, that love nothing more to study the Bible with you. If we can serve you, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.